Think globally, but act locally. That's the wise motto of the ecological movement, and has been for some number of years. It's an effort to get people to look beyond their immediate world, their immediate sort of environment, to think of what the impact of what they do locally has on a global impact. It's hard sometimes when it comes to what we do, because we don't see the impact what we have on our environment of our own little habits, like whether it be recycling stuff or whether it be how much we drive versus how much we walk. We just don't see the impact that readily. And so we have to actually believe research. We have to believe what people say. Like the researchers and the scientists will have articulated out the importance of our actions taken has on the world, and that our current world is dramatically impacted by our consumption rate. And there are many who will refute it. I have one friend who, a very bright man, but just absolutely refuses to recycle. And he'll do it right in my face. Like, he'll just throw the bottles and the plastic into the trash and look at me as I'm doing it. Like waiting for me, goading me. And I'll say, why are you doing this? It makes no difference. Yeah, it's all a load of rubbish. I said, well, that is rubbish now. That is, I'll argue about what he's doing. And so I struggle with trying to convince him that all our little actions taken together make a massive difference. So I found, unfortunately, I should have got it up on the image of this. There's something that's known as the Pacific Ocean trash. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of it.
Yes.
Right? It's just this, it's an island of floating trash that is between Hawaii and California. And it floats up and down hundreds of miles up and down the coast, killing everything in its sight. Because it just is literally like a mile long of trash. I think it's actually 15 miles long of trash. And it's deep down, it's 600,000 tons of plastic trash that's floating around the ocean. I'll have to get, maybe John will search for it before I get it. It's called the Pacific Ocean Dump. Anyway, it's extraordinary. So I showed him that's it there. That's the beginning of it. No, it's even way worse than that. It actually did show you pictures of it underground. It's like an iceberg. You'll see it. Anyway, you just Google it yourself. You'll find it. It's extraordinary. So I showed this to my friend. He goes like, oh, where's that? I said, it's right off the coast of California. Oh, is that what the Chinese sent to us? I said, oh, please. That's California made. Don't worry. Anyway, it's extraordinary. But my point is that think globally, act locally, actually has a tremendous amount of wisdom to it. But not just for our ecological, which of course has an impact spiritually, I get that. But spiritually too, that's exactly what Jesus is trying to tell us in today's gospel, in these parables. And he used parables time and time again. But here's what it's extraordinary. He uses these two parables today, and we have to break them open a little because it can be really disconcerting. Like the first one he uses this farmer analogy, and it's about, he says like the farmer, if you were a farmer, you would be completely insulted by this. You plant the seed and you sit back and do nothing. That's what it says. They wait day and night. How it grows, he knows not how. It sounds like the farmer does nothing. Now, anyone who knows anything about farming knows that that is not how a farmer operates. They go out and they water, they irrigate, they till the soil, they plant it, they irrigate, they weed. They're always doing something to make sure to get the maximum out of that farmer. So Jesus would have known that. So why did he put this parable together? Well, first of all, it was to shock them. And to remind them that despite all you do, you can't make those things grow. That is only God who can make it grow. And it's a reminder, even to the most organic of things, is that we can do tons of stuff. We can plant the seed of God in people, but fundamentally it's not us who will make it grow. It'll be God's grace who will make it grow. Now, be rest assured, we have to do our work. We have to plant the seed. And that comes along with the next parable, he goes. He reminds him, look, even the smallest seed, the smallest acts of discipleship will flourish into large plants. That's what he's trying to remind us. So on one hand, he's telling us that we won't make it all grow. But the other hand, he's saying that you have to do your part. So that part is that we have to do our little part. And this is where we could, instead of say, think globally, act locally, maybe what we could do is we have to think absolutely extraordinary, but act ordinary. And what I mean by that is we have to do the ordinary things of daily life and do them with the knowledge that God will make them extraordinary. What if, like, let me give you an example. If every one of us, like, when I mean the little things, that if we were kind and gentle to everyone, that has an impact large. Why? Because let's just for argument's sake, let's say, I know this is impossible, but let's just for argument's sake that every single one of us who was here today, for the rest of this week, were gentle, kind, and forgiving, never said anything bad to anyone else. We were all incredibly wonderful. I can see by your blank looks that that's not going to be possible. I can get that. I figured it out. No, but just for a moment, imagine if we all actually did it. Don't imagine about somebody else. Imagine if you, for the entirety of this next week, were gentle, were kind, were forgiving in everything you did. And we did that week after week after week. I can guarantee you this church will be full. And the reason why it'll be full, people go, where do you go on Sunday that you turn out to be like this the rest of the week? I need to do whatever you're doing, whatever that is, you're different. You are different after you go to that place. What is that place you go to? If we were really doing that, then the world will be globally different. This community will be radically different. Now, we know that we make mistakes. So the question is, why are we giving up so easily? Why don't we, when we make a mistake, go right back at it, forgive ourselves, and say, nope, I committed to be kind and gentle and to being a disciple of Christ. I'm going to witness this every week. That's what the call of the gospel is. That's what the call of this table is. Do we become what we receive? That we promise to be exactly that. And when these children get baptized, by the way, we're the ones claiming that we're going to be witnesses to them so they can look to us at how to be a Christian. And we just oftentimes just, oh yeah, baptized, no, move on. No, this is a big deal. And the reason why we do it at Mass is to make sure every one of us is reminded of our promises to be that Christian, to be the kind person, to be the first one to offer kindness, to be the first one to be forgiving. And if we could do this as a community, it makes a difference. Like, I understand when we start off small, we tend to think it won't have a difference. But when we first went to Nicaragua, we went with only 18 people. Now we regularly send down 120. When we first went down to Sacred Heart Community Service, we went down with 20. Now we have over 700 volunteers. When we first went to a missionary trip in the United States, we went with 20. Now we have every year 50. It does make a difference. It does multiply. And we've also opened up the homeless shelter. I understand people say, what could you possibly do for just 15 women when there's 7,500 people in Santa Clara County on the streets? We start with 15, and we'll have more next year, and more the year after that, and hopefully in 20 years, we'll have all 7,000 off. But that's what we do. We start with the smallest of seeds. Every single one of our actions makes a difference. So today, for us this week, let's make that commitment. Let's make sure that every little ordinary interaction that we have with our parents, with our siblings, with our children, with our friends, and most especially with strangers, that we are the ones who are loving and kind and gentle. If we can do that, if we can think extraordinary, but act in the ordinary movements of our lives in those extraordinary ways, simple but brilliant, that's the gospel.